I think it's important to just give you a report about the exorcism. I believe that during an exorcism, through the prayers and the rosaries, the sacramentals, the ritual of the church, the exorcism prayers, the batteries of the evil spirit, in other words, their strength gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and then God sends them back to hell. So I just want to speak just briefly about it in general, and then I'll speak more about it next week. An exorcism is really a sacramental. We'll talk about that. Sacramentals such as holy waters, the relic of the true cross, the rosary, etc., are holy things or actions that the Catholic Church makes use of to obtain from God through her intercession spiritual and temporal favors. They're called sacramentals because they resemble the sacraments in some way. They obtain favors from God through the prayers of the church offered for those who make use of them and through the devotion they inspire. The chief benefits obtained for the use of sacramentals, we're talking about blessed palms, ashes, holy water, blessed statues, crucifixes, you know, there's a lot of sacramentals. Our first actual graces, the remission of venial sin, the remission of temporal punishment, in other words, our time in purgatory, health of body and material blessings, and protection from evil spirits. It's his will. But this person had been oppressed for almost 40 years. They were cursed when they were young. Their mother and other relatives were witches, and the demons on the ritual had asked them, asked for their names. So when their batteries were weaker, they finally said their names. And they were all false gods or demons mentioned in the Bible. As I said earlier, if God wants something done, then it gets done, whether it's our chickens or the parking lot next door. So I just want to thank you for your contributions. I think we've done very well. You saw this chart in the bulletin, so I think it's wise for everybody to live below their means and then to at least put aside 10% for savings and then 10% for charity in the church. So over the years, we've saved about $500,000 from the church building fund. So we started with that. And then in the last week, we collected about $530,000. So we're more than two-thirds to where we're supposed to be. But we still need everybody's help. And I'll just explain. We gave him the offer, which would be $1,500,000 plus our closing costs was about $6,000. And then they countered with saying, oh, you can pay all our closing costs too, which was like $142,000. $49,950 were taxes, their taxes, so they want us to pay that. So you know, after seeking advice from the realtor and others, we just split it 50-50. We countered with saying, okay, we'll pay up to $75,000 for their closing costs. Because in the long run, if we lose the property, we have to be generous. We have to do what we have to do. And it's a big corporation, and they're having a big meeting in Orlando this weekend. So they got the offer, but they were flying, and they had to talk to the top brass. So we'll get an answer today. So please continue to pray. Many years ago, before we purchased this church, we had to rent a room from the Lutherans in order to offer Sunday Mass. The cost for the room was reasonable. The Lutheran minister asked to compare what his congregation contributed with our tithe, since the number of people was about the same. He was surprised that our amount was much less than the contributions he received from his group. Perhaps this is because we do not generally stress and define specifically what is expected from our parishioners, but leave them to their own decision. Now, however, we've come to a critical point in the continuance of our church locale. Money is so variable is not at all as secure as land. Land is a good investment, and it's necessary that we acquire the adjoining property. If this acquisition falls through, developers will no doubt do all in their power to eliminate our little church and get rid of it so they can expand the entire area. They have the power and the money to do so. And the earlier developer tried to do that, to get the city to move us to that little parking lot across the street and then just take all the land and et cetera. Thus, I'm making a final plea to those of you who have given little compared to what, compared with your means, or have not given at all. Make a tally of all the things on which you spend money which are not necessary. Dining out, entertainment, the latest technology, latest clothing, keeping up with the Joneses, expensive toys, etc. All are included in excess necessities or pleasure spending. Lent will soon become upon us. I ask you to begin your sacrifice now and generously contribute toward this cause. God has so blessed us with the true religion, the valid Mass, valid sacraments, two resident priests, and placed us in a comfortable place even in this evil world. Show your gratitude for all God has given you by answering his call. God will judge us on our love for him and our sincere effort. St. Paul tells us, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows in blessings shall also reap in blessings. St. Augustine said, charity is the root of all good works. God loves a generous heart. You may never have such an opportunity again to make such a lasting difference. So I'm praying that you will search your heart and conform yourself to the will of God in this matter. So just to review it, you know, from all the years of savings, just simply, when we bought Immaculate Heart of Mary Church for about 25 years, I'd been saving. I never had a salary, but from Mass stipends, Christmas gifts, etc., I gave $125,000 to pay for Immaculate Heart of Mary Church. And then we took $175,000 from the Queen of Angels Building Fund. And I wanted to leave some money here for building funds, so if something like this happened, we'd have something. So the church savings right now for many years is $500,000. And then our goal is $1 million plus the closing cost. So it's supposed to be closing cost on the deal was $6,000 for our closing cost. Their closing cost are about $142,000. And then they want us to pay for that too. And then we countered and say, we'll pay $75,000. So when we divide $1 million plus the closing costs by the number of families that we have, or the heads of household, that comes down to $5,000 per family. Many parishioners can give much more. God knows that some parishioners cannot give that much. So in summary, everybody should help. It's kind of like in a war, you know, all hands on deck. And then the second thing, be generous. And third, deep in your conscience, you know what God wants you to contribute. And then he will bless and reward you for your generosity. May God bless you for everything you have done for the church and for your sacrifices to purchase the adjoining land and parking lot. And then finally, you can be creative. I remember, again, this, we're not asking for fundraisers now, we're asking contributions. But going to Catholic school and then the nun gave you a pack of tickets and you have to sell these raffle tickets, you're going door to door. And then it helped the church, it helped the convent, and helped the school. So you may know other traditional Catholics, you may have neighbors or friends, aunts, uncles, whatever. But if you're creative, I think this really is God's will. And when God wants something done, he'll get it done. But I just need your help so we can accomplish this. And as you know, I rarely ask for money. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.